All right, yesterday we left off, and we were discussing the machlokes between Rabbo and Rav Yosef, and the position, what the Gemara left off on was the position of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's position is that Yeush eino kone afilu midrabbanan. There is, Yeush does not work by itself, it's not sufficient to create a kinyan. So then the Gemara challenged this, the Gemara brought a challenge to from Abaye to Rav Yosef's position from a Mishnah in Kalim. And because of the Mishnah and Kalim, Rav Yosef was left with a problem with his position that Yeush can't be Kone. So Rava said at the end that Rav Yosef was bothered by this problem for 22 years. And then he finally got the answer when he was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva. And that his answer was Shinoi Hashem, Kishinoi Maaseh. That Shinoi Hashem is equivalent or equal to Shinoi Maaseh. That means that in the instance of the Mishnah and Kalim, it wasn't simply Yeush, but it was also Shinoi Hashem. And so together they create the Kinyan, not just the Yeush by itself. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, what do you do with Takanat Hashavim, Takanat Merish? Right there, the Chachamim had to institute a special Takana, special Dindur Abanon, that when someone steals a board and builds it into their house, right, even though now that the board has changed its status from being a board to a roof, nevertheless, we had to have a takana derabonon to allow the ganav here to return it to the balim, return money to the balim in place of the board. Otherwise, he'd be responsible to return the board. But if shinu shame, changing the name, is equivalent to the shinu maaseh, then we should have shinu shame and yeush. It should be kone over here, according to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef answered, and this is the top of Samach Zayim and Aleph. Rav Yosef answers, and Rav Yosef, right, merish mo'alav. Right, that a Meirish doesn't change its name. I mean, we had a similar concept or idea by Ayil and by Shor, that even from the outset and to the end, a Meirish, a board, is a board. Even once it's built into the roof, it still has its name as a board. And he brought a proof from a Pasuk by the Binyan HaMikdash. Rabbi Zeira gave an alternative answer, and this is what we ended off with yesterday, was Rabbi Zeira Amar, Shinui Achuzer Lebriato, B'Shinui Hashem Lo Abishinui. That when do we classify or when do we qualify Shinui Shame, the name change, as being something that's significant enough to be equivalent or equal to a shinui maaseh, that's only when it's not chozer lebriato, it doesn't go back to its original status. If it can go back to its original status, if it can go back to being what it was before, then that is not enough or significant enough of a shinui shame to be classified as a shinui maaseh. And that's what the difference over here by the problem by Meirish, the problem by the board, is that the board can be pulled out of the roof. You're right. It was called a board before. Now it's called a roof. But on the other hand, if he just pulls it out of the roof, it's a board again. And therefore, it's not a shinoi shame, not a significant enough of a shinoi ma'aseh. Now the Gemara, starting on the top of Samach Zayin Aleph, is going to question that principle. Where it says, v'shinoi hashem, she'enu chozer lebriato, mi'a v'shinoi. A shinoi hashem that does not go back to its original status, is that really enough of a shinoi? Is that really significant? I mean, is that considered a shinoi maaseh? V'harei tzinor. We have the case of tzinor. The case of tzinor is as such. That what? The mikara ketzitzta. Originally it was a piece of wood. V'hashta tzinor, and now it's a pipe. What does that mean? D'tanya. We have a tzinor shechakoko l'sof kav'o. This is a Mishnah. It's about kelim. It's about mikvah. Case of mikvah is that you have to have rainwater that goes into the mikvah. Mayim she'uvim, drawn water, or water that's not rainwater, is pasul b'mikvah. What's classified as mayim she'uvim that's posel a mikvah? That's mayim that's brought through a kli to the mikvah. So now, if, on the other hand, you have something called hamshacha, if the water comes to the mikvah derech a path, some sort of running, you know, along the ground, then that is not considered mayim she'uvim. So now over here we have a pipe that's leading into the mikveh. So now water that goes through that pipe into the mikveh, is that posel a mikveh? So again, the three lugim of mayim shuvim is posel a mikveh. But how do we get water, like today, when we want to put water? When we do neshika, through we have a bore that has the rainwater in it, and then we do neshika with the other water. When we mamshich the water in there, we turn on a tap and the water goes down a hamshacha into the mikveh. So it's not qualified or classified as mayim shuvim. So here you have a pipe that's leading into the mikveh. Is that good enough to consider hamshacha, to be considered a continuous flow of the water along the ground, and therefore won't be mayim shuvim? Or is the pipe considered to be a kli? And if it's a kli, then that's called mayim shuvim, because you're putting the water into the mikveh through a kli. So the Gemara says that depends on how the pipe was made. So he says, if tzinor shechakako ulusov kavo, if he first hollowed out the pipe, he took the wood, he hollowed out the pipe, and then he affixed it to the ground, and he cemented it, he put it into the ground, then he would postel it to mikvah. It'll be postel to mikvah. Why? Because the tzinor turned into a kli, meaning that the pipe, the wood, turned into a pipe, which is a kli, before it was ever attached to the ground. So the chibur, the karko, is irrelevant now because it was already had a shame kli on it. On the other hand, kav'o, ulusof chakuko, if he first cements in or places the pipe into the ground and then hollows out the pipe while it's attached to the ground, then it's considered as smichat adara, it's continuation of the ground. It's considered as a part of the ground. And then posel to mikvah. And then water that goes through it will not be posel to mikvah, it will not be classified as mayim shuvim. Problem with this is, yamart shinui Hashem miltahi, if you say that shinui Hashem is significant enough, right, to change the status of an item, to be considered like shinui ma'aseh, afilu kav'o ulusof chakuko namili posel, right, then even if he attaches it, affixes it to the ground, and then hollows it out, he should also be posel. Why? Because that is shinui Hashem. He's changing it from a ktzitzta, it's from a piece of wood, to a pipe. And since he's changing from wood to a pipe, and something that's not chuzer lebriato, can't be reversed, right? Not something that can go back. And nevertheless, it's not, if that's the case, then it should always be, that shinui should change the status of the item, even though it's attached to the ground. It says, shiny she'iva dimidra banon hi. This whole problem of maim she'uvim, drawn water, putting posel the mikvah, that's all a din derabonon. Shlosha lugim of maim she'uvim that are posel the mikvah, that's all a din derabonon. Iochi, if that's the case, afilu reishin nami. Right? What do you mean? If it's all a din derabonon, we don't care so much, then why do you care whether it's affixed to the ground, whether he puts the pipe in first, the pipe in afterwards? It's all a din derabonon, and it's a kli either way. So why should it matter? So it says, no. Hatam ika tore kli ala bitalush. In the case of the reisha, it already acquires a shame kli in the reisha, meaning in the, I'm sorry, bitalush, before it's ever attached to the ground. Hacha, in the case of the seifa, ain't tore kli ala bitalush. There's no Torah kli on it until it's mechuber the karka, and only becomes a kli while it's still mechuber the karka, so the rabbanon will make you in that case. So it's a din derabbanon, and when it came to din derabbanon, if it looks like a kli, and it, you know, it's a kli before it ever reaches the ground, then we're going to say it looks like any other key, and that's kli, and that's mayim shuvim. On the other hand, if you place it and attach it, affix it to the ground, and then you hollow it out, even though technically it's a kli, now let's rabbanon are makel in that case and say that's not mayim shuvim, because it's all din derabbanon, they can be makel in such an instance to say it's not mayim shuvim. Right, I don't think, I mean, I understand why you're formulating it that way. I'm not sure you can, because the whole idea here is that Rav Yosef wants it to be a shame kli. He wants it to be a shame kli, but just not be a problem for Mayim Shuvim, right? Because that's his whole point, that you have Shinu Hashem that makes it into a shame kli, despite the fact that it's become a shame kli, it's still not post-sell the mikveh. So it would be easier, it would be nicer to be able to say, like the Din Derabbanon, like you're suggesting, Shani Shiva Din Derabbanon he, and say that Derabbanon doesn't even acquire a shame kli. But that's not, that wouldn't help Rav Yosef's cause, because Rav Yosef's cause needs it to get a shame kli, because he wants to say shinoi Hashem makes it into a kli. So you have to say it is a kli, but it's just not a significant enough kli, or not, we're not worried about it in terms of she'iva, or in terms of mayim shuvim derabbanon. All right, now, the Gemara challenges for another question. Meitave. Haganav v'agazlan v'anas. So Ganav Gazlan, we know Anas is a person who is Chamas. He is Chamsan, that he takes, you know, by force he pays for the item. Hekdisham Hekdesh, if they make something Kodesh, right? If they're Makdish, the thing that they stole is Hekdesh. Trumatan Trumah, if they mafish Trumah, it has a shame Trumah on it. Umasrotan Maser, and if they take off Masrot, it's also a good Maser. So Gemara says, Imrei Hotam, right? Iko Shinoi Hashem. Over there, you have Shinui Hashem. So therefore, the solution to our problem is, how do these Ganavim, or how do this Gazlan, or this Anas, get significant enough possession in order to be Makdish something, or in order to be Mafish Truma, Mafish Masrot? How did he get ownership or control over here? What happened in his stealing that got him that control? Whereas Havamina here is that it seems from this Braiso that Yeosh is Kone. And this is a problem for Rav Yosef, because the issue is Kone, because you see that the Ganav and the Gazlan and the Chamsan can be, right, they can be Komaktish, they can be Mafish Truma, Mafish Masrot, even though there was nothing else that happened here that would have given them acquisition outside of Yeush, which is a problem for Rav Yosef, right? So Gemara's answer is, similar, not as dramatic as what you're saying, but similar to what you're saying, David, but that is, there's Ika Shinui Hashem. Right. But you want to say, isn't there already Shinui Rishut? Which I could say is not, it's not Mukhrach Rishut here. It's not Mukhrach from the Brisa that there's Shinui Rishut. What is Mukhrach from the Brisa that is, there is Shinui Hashem here. Why? Before it was Tevel, and now he changed its status to being Truma. So now he's acquiring it. The moment that he makes it into Truma, he's creating both, there's Yeush beforehand, and now there's Shinui Hashem. Hekte. Right, so that, it sounds like that they happen, that change, right, happens simultaneous with the acquisition. As you know, as he makes it hektesh, that Shinui Hashem and his acquisition of the item happen simultaneous. And that the way we say by an Eved Kenani, that he is Cherut, right? He's able to acquire his Get Shichrur with his Cherut. It happens simultaneously. I think you have to say something of similar sorts over here. It sounds like that the Shinui Hashem that is generated over here, that creates the Kenyan, happens at simultaneous, right, with his ability to acquire Rishut. And that's what both allows the Hektesh to happen, but it also allows the, right, that's the Hektesh itself is what allows the Kinyan to happen, that they're happening at simultaneously. So now, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yonatan, Minayin l'shinoi shu kone. How do you know that Shinoi in general is kone? Shinemar, because they're the puzzle with Shevet HaGzela, you have to return that which you stole. Matam l'ershir gazal, that you stole. I mean, Veshiva the Gzela sounds you got to return what you stole. So why do you have to have a Sher Gazal? Imke Ancient Gazal Yachzir. If the item is the same way it was when you stole it, give it back. Vimlav, if not, Damim Ba'alma Ba'ishlumi. Then you have to give equivalent value, you have to replace the item. So that shows you that if the item has changed from the time that you stole it, the Ganav has acquired it, and he only has to replace the value of the item. He doesn't have to actually get the item back. Mar says, "Hi, Asher Gazal mi boi, the Mute Gezel Aviv." Wait a minute. That Asher Gazal we need for another limud, which is we're going to get this later in the Gemara in Kuf Dalid, but it's the Mute Gezel Aviv. Sheino Mosif Chomesh al Gezel Aviv. That when it comes to this is a case by the Gazlan Perik in Vayikra Hey, which we've discussed before, when he takes the Shvuah, and later on he admits that he stole the item. When he admits that he stole the item, he has to pay Karen Chomesh and a Korban Asham. So over there, one of the mutim, or one of the times where you don't have to pay the chomesh, is Asher Gazal, is when it's his father that had stole it, and now the Yorshim are obligated to return the gzela. When they're obligated to return the gzela, they're not obligated to pay the chomesh. They're not obligated to pay the chomesh. So is it Asher Gazal is that you stole. The only time you're chayev for chomesh is the item that you stole. Where it says, Im kein yichtov rachmana veishivet gzelo. And then the Torah could have created that, or that limud could have come, if the Torah just simply saying the words, Eshivet Gzelo, that return, you have to return that which you stole, Gzelo, which you stole, and what you stole will only be Chayv and Chomesh. Asher Gazal Lamali, Lemechtav, why does it write Asher Gazal? Shemari not Tarte, so we can learn both items out of it. We can learn out the fact that it used Asher Gazal instead of Gzelo, that teaches us one din, and Asher Gazal itself teaches us the second din, and the two dinim are, one is, that you don't pay chomesh al gezel aviv, and the other din is that you pay equivalent value or the value of the item after you've mishanet. If you change the item, then the ganav is konet, and therefore he doesn't have to give back the item, but just has to pay the equivalent value. Viki damrei, there's another lashon damrei. Arvachis damrei Rabbi Yonatan minan the shinui she'eino kone. How do I know that there's a shinui that's not kone? Shenemar v'shivet gzela mikol makom. Says you have to return the original item no matter what has happened. Where it says, Vaktiv Asher Gazal. What do you mean? It doesn't say that. What about the words Asher Gazal? It says, you're right. It says Asher Gazal, but you left out the Asher Gazal. And we buy lay Agzelo, Shalom Osif Chomesh, Vem Osif Chomesh al Gezel Aviv. We need that for the alternative limud, the limud that's later on in the Mesechta, that you don't pay a Chomesh on the Gzel of your father. Now, Shaul, this is another opinion, just to note, similar to what we saw with Beit Shammai. There's another opinion in the Gemara that Shinoi is not Kone. And yet, the Gemara before took it as a granted. I told you yesterday's daf seems to take it for a granted. Tosus discusses it, that ignores any opinion who says that Shinoi is in a Kone. It just goes with the Shinoi Kone because it's Beis Hillel, because the Halacha is that way. So here again, the Gemara had alternative or had possible positions of Shinoi and a Kone, yet it didn't take it up. Right now, Amar Ula, Minayin li Yeush she'eino koneh. We're going to show you that Yeush is not koneh. Now, the question about what Ula's position is. We've had another opinion like this. We had the position of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef believed that Yeush is not koneh. So now Ula says, Minayin li Yeush she'eino koneh. Is he saying the same thing as Rav Yosef? That Yeush is not koneh? And just like Rav Yosef, Yeush she'eino koneh. That's the position of the Ri. The position of the Ri is that Ula's statement of Yeush she'eino koneh is period. Yeush in any circumstance is not koneh. Rabbeinu Tam says no, that Ula's statement is narrow, very narrow. In general, Ula believes that Yeush is koneh. It's just in this context, which is the context of Korban. In the context of Korban, Ula says that Yeush is not koneh because of the problem of mitzvah haba be'aveira. Because of the problem of mitzvah haba be'aveira, therefore Yeush is not koneh by Korban, and this is a narrow, unique statement of Ula and does not relate back to what Rav Yosef said, that the Torah doesn't specifically say mitzvah baba veira is an issue that's not explicit in the katuf. All right. Anyway, the problem with what you're suggesting is that it seems that once you make a kinyan on something, that it would not be a mitzvah haba veira. Number two is that you're going to see the pasuk that Ula brings is a pasuk that's from Korban, and that's what pushes the Rabbeinu Tam in that direction. All right. So where do you know this from? Shneamar veitim gazul. Right, you're going to bring, or what's the problem with these korbanot that you're bringing? You're bringing stolen stuff, piseach, or those that are lame, or chole, that's sick. You're not bringing the best of your animals at mom, but it's not the best animal, meaning that it limps, or whatever it does that makes it not the very thing. Right, exactly. Right, so the Gemara says, Gazul, Dumya de Piseach, Ma Piseach de Letle Takanto. When we're talking about a Piseach, we're talking about a case where there is no remedy for the Piseach. Klau, Af, Gazul de Letle Takanto. Right, also Gazul, right, where there is no remedy for this. Loshna Lifne Yeush, Loshna Achar Yeush. Right, the only time, or the only way, Gazul, there is no remedy for Gazul is, if you believe that both before Yeush and after Yeush, there is no kinyan. I mean, otherwise, there would be a remedy to Gazul, is after the Balim have Yeush, then you would have the ability to become into your possession and you'd be able to bring it. The only way that it could be that Gazul has no remedy is if it doesn't matter whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush, right? It always remains with the status or the shame Gazul. Right? I mean, Tosfos points this out, even though before, by when you stole a tle and it became an ayu, it's like a shinoi biyado, and he's kano. So there you do have this. Mikomakom kamoshu letle takanta. The way it is right now, it has no tikkun. I mean, there has to be something done to the animal or the item in order to create a tikkun or in order to fix it. But the way the status of the item is, as is, without any shinoi in it, there's no way to fix it. And what's that? That's a case of, meaning, or case only in a case where yeush won't work, no matter what. So Ula says, I have a proof to you that Yeush doesn't work from this. So Mar says, Rabba Amar Mehocha, I can prove it from somewhere else. Mi karbano v'lo agazul. Pasuk by Ula says, you have to bring a karbano, and we say karbano v'lo agazul, now which is stolen. Eimat, when was it stolen? Ilei melifnei Yeush pshita. Of course, before Yeush, what do you mean? You need the Torah to tell you that you can't bring a korban? You can't be makdish something. It's not yours. You don't have enough control to be makdish. It's certain that you can't do it. So lama likra, elav l'achar Yeush. Must be that it was after Yeush. Ushmamina, Yeush lo kani. You see that Yeush is not kani, that's why you can't bring a korban from something that's stolen even after Yeush. Shmamina. Shmar says, wait a minute. We just had this case yesterday. And when this case was brought up as a question on Rav Yosef, on Rabbah, right? Abaye asked this question on Rabbah, right? So then Rava came back and said, no, it's not a good question on Rabbah. Why? Because Rava says, what are you going to do with Mishkavo v'lo agazul? And then he explained that the alternative is that karbano does not mean that you are taking something that's chulin and trying to be makdishit, but rather you stole an animal that was already hetish. You stole an animal that was already mukdash. So you couldn't prove anything about Yeush from that, right, from that case. So when it says, Ha-Rabahu d'amar the gazal karban d'chavrei, that this whole case, the case in this karbano v'lo gazul, is a case where he stole something that was already mukdash. Where it says, I-bayitayim ahadarbe. One possibility is that he reversed course here. He changed his mind, and that in general he believed that Yeush is not koneh, and he was just over there. He was maybe answering up, or he thought he was answering up for right, for the position of Rabbo, but in general he believes that Yeush is not Kone. The other possibility is one of them Rav Papa said. Rav Papa was a Talmud of Abaye and Rava, and therefore when Rav Papa spoke, sometimes he spoke Stam, people might have thought that he was saying it b'shem Rava, his Rebbe, but that wasn't the case. Rav Papa was saying something of his own, and it wasn't really Rava's, but they mixed it up, and therefore they assigned it, or they attributed it to Rava. And now, we're going back to the Mishnah. If you remember the Mishnah brought a distinction between Dalet Vehei and Kefil. That by Kefil applies to all items, whereas Dalet Vehei only applies to Shorva Se. So Gemara says, why is it limited to Shorva Se? Bamai, Nelev Shor Shor Mishabas. Why don't we do, remember we had at the end of the previous parak, we had the Mishnah that said that whenever it comes, whenever the Torah uses the term Shor and Chamor, it's a reference, you can make Gzer Shava to Shabbos, and that Gzer Shava or Hekesh to Shabbos will teach you that it applies to all Balei Chaim, not limited to Shor. So over here too, why don't we take the word Shor and say it's not limited to Shor and it will apply to all animals. Mal Alan Chayav Of Ki Yotzeven, just like by Shabbos, Chayin Of is included in the term Shor. Afkan Chayav Of Ki Yotzeven. As far as it says, Amarav Amakra, Shor Veseh. Shor Veseh Shnei Pe'amim. The Pasuk says Shor Veseh twice. Shor Veseh in, Midarachin Alo. So this is a repeated Shor Veseh that teaches you Shor Veseh exclusively and nothing else. So when it says, Imri, Hai Miyater. Which one of them is extraneous? Of the Shor Veseh that's mentioned in here, which one is extraneous? So if you go to the Pasuk, if you have the Pasukim there, it's in Perichaf Aleph, in Mishpatim, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. I'll read you the Pasuk. It says, Ki ignov ish shor oseh. Person steals a shor oseh. Utvacho o micharo. He shechs it, or he sells it. Chamisha bakar yishalem tachat ha-shor. Rabat zon tachat ha-seh. You pay 5 bakar in place of the shor, and you pay 4 zon in place of the seh. So you see the word shor v'seh in the beginning of the pasuk is ki ignov ish shor oseh. And then later on in the pasuk, when it's enumerating the payment, it says, Chamisha bakar yishalem tachat ha-shor, and rabat zon tachat ha-seh. So now, based on that, Rava says there's a repetition of shor v'seh. So Shor V'Seh in the beginning of the Pasuk, the end of the Pasuk. And because they have Shor V'Seh twice, it comes Le'ikuv, meaning to say that it's exclusively Shor V'Seh and nothing else. Well, which one of those Shor V'Seh is unnecessary in the Pasuk, or is extraneous in the Pasuk, tells us that we can make a limud that Shor V'Seh exclusively. So that's what Gemara is trying to find out. Now, Ilema, Shor V'Seh, the Sefer Miyater, that the second Shor V'Seh in the Pasuk is what is extraneous. The Nichtov Rachmana, the Pasuk should have written Ki ignov shor oseh utvacho mecharo. Chamisha baka yishalem tachtav, varbatzon tachtav. Right, that we would have just, in a general, when you have a parallel structure in a sentence, and internally in a sentence, that whatever you mention first in the beginning of the sentence is the issue that you address first at the end of the sentence. So here also, you see, ignov shor oseh, it starts with shor and then seh, and it tells you, then you say, chamisha baka yishalem tachtav, and arbatzon tachtav. So the tachtav here will be tachtav the shor for the first number and tachtav the seh for the second. Where it says, Yikatav Rachmana Hachi Avamina Baishlumei Tisha L'chol Echad V'Echad. No. I would have thought, no, don't use the distinction that I just said, which is that the tachtav means, right, tachtav, like the structure in the beginning of the Pasuk of Shor V'Seh, but rather means you'll pay 5 bakar and you'll pay 4 tzon in either instance. You'll end up paying 9. Right, 9 times for any given animal that is stolen and then shechted, or stolen and then sold. Where it says, V'chitem aktiv tachtav tachtav. Right, and you're going to say, wait a minute, it says the word tachtav twice. If what you're saying is true, it should only say tachtav once, and we would know that it's 9 times for each of the two items. I mean, for sure, I'd say each one of them would be 9 times. The fact that it repeats the word tachtav seems to indicate there's a separation in payment between the arbo and the chamisha. The one applies to shore, I mean, the other way, chamisha applies to the shore, and the arba applies to the set. So, chad tachtav miyater. One of the tachtavs is extra. And from that extraneous tachtav, you would learn out the fact that it only applies to one. You know, 5 to shore and 4 to set. Yes, Shul? Not both, but meaning that either one, if he steals a shore or a set, but then once he's stolen the shor, he'll have to pay chamisha bakar and arbat zon just for that one stolen item. That he will pay 9 times, basically, for one stolen item. Right, you don't have to steal both, but each one that you steal will be acquired 9 times. Where it says, no, because the word tachtav, you have the word tachtav twice, it indicates that there's a separation between the two types of payment. Where it says, no, because that tachtav, I'm going to violate the drasha achrina. That extra tachtav I need for something else to teach me, the Tanya. Yachol ganav shor shave mane yishalem tachtav negidin. You think that you stole a pricey shor, a very healthy, good shor that's worth 100 mane, worth 100 zuz, I'm sorry, that you are in, what is he? He says he has to pay 5 times. So what's he going to do? He's going to find the 5, right? Like in Paro's dream, he'll find the 5 ugliest bakar, and he'll give him and say, here's your 5 bakar back in place of your shor. So Tamalomer, tachtav. Right? The Gemara says, tachtav. That the extra word tachtav comes to teach me that you have to give something that's equivalent to that which you stole. Tachtav means you must have a replacement. The 5 times, each one is a replacement to the one that you stole. All right, so that can't be the shor v'seh sefer. Now Gemara's going to test the other way. The shor v'seh the reisha miyutar. Maybe it's the shor v'seh of the reisha that is miyutar. The nichtov rachmana. So the Torah should have written like this: ki ignov ish utvacho mecharo. A person steals and then he's tovech umocher chamisha baka yishleim tachar ashor v'arba tzon tachar aseh. So Gemara says ikatav rachmana hachi avamina adaganiv trei. This is what Shaul pointed out before, that it says ki ignov shor oseh. The shor oseh indicated that you only have to steal one. But now, when you say ki ignov, and you ignore the fact that there's no shor oseh there, maybe you'd have to steal both of them in order to be chayav. Where it says, v'tavach lehu, and then you shech both of them in order to be chayav. Where it says utvacho. It says tvacho in the singular, so that can't be the case. So where it says, utvacho k'tiv l'chad. All right, fine. So where it says tvacho, which indicates you only have to shech one of them. So Gemara says, no problem. Ve'ema adaganiv tarvayu. He'll steal both of them. U'mezabin lehu. And he'll sell both of them. That'll be the requirement to be chayav. Where it says, u'mecharo k'tiv. It says mecharo, which is also the chad. It's also in the singular. So that can't be the case. So Gemara says, ema, this way. Hava mina adaganiv trei. You have to steal both the shor and the seh. V'tavachad u'mezabin chad. You have to sell one and shecht one. Because then you address the problem of singular in tavacho mecharo. And yet, we don't have a separation between shor and seh. So Gemara says, o mecharo k'tiv. Right? It says, not tvacho and mecharo, but it says tvacho o mecharo. So, mekate yavamina. I would think like this. Ad d'goniv tervayu. He steals both, right, a shor and a seh. V'tavachad. And then he shechs one. U mishayarchad. And he does nothing to the other one. So now he's accomplished everything in the pasuk. It says, ki gnov, which is referring to possibly both shor and seh. He steals both. Then he was toveach, one of them. So that takes care of the problem of tvacho in the singular. And when it says tvacho umecharo, sounds like on that one shor, you had a choice between toveach and mocher. And all he does is tvicha. The other shor, he does nothing to it. So therefore, he only picked one item. So we've addressed all the issues in the pasuk. So umezavin chad umesharechad, or the other way around. He sells one, and the other one he leaves to do nothing with. So I said, okay, forget it. It can't be sure on the sure and save the ratio that are extraneous. The other way around. Ella, back to the other way. Ella, sure, the seifa v'sed the ratio miyater. All right, now we're going to say, no, the sure and the seifa and the save the ratio are what left over, are extraneous. Why? Nichtov rachmana. Pasuk, or the Torah should have formulated the pasuk this way. Ki gnov ish shor. Person steals a shor. Utvacho u'micharo. And he shechs or sells it. Chamisha bakar yishalem tachtav. He'll pay back the 5 bakar. Tachtav. Tachtav is referring to the shore in the beginning of the pasuk. V'arba tzon tachar aseh. And you have 4 tzon tachar aseh, which implies automatically that seh is also applicable in this pasuk over here. That seh should have been, right? That there's also a seh that was stolen, or a possibility of a seh being stolen. Seh get in here. Seh get in here. Must be as the same din as shore. So that's why I don't need seh in the beginning of the pasuk. I don't need shore. So shore the seif of a seh the reisha lamali. So I have these extraneous shor v'seif and the seder reisha lamalei shema mina shor v'seh in midah achrina lo. That comes and limits this din of arba and chamisha to shor v'seh and nothing else. Yeah, it could have done the other way around. The only thing is that shor appears first in the pasuk, in the second half of the pasuk. So you'd have to reverse the arba and the chamisha on the end of the pasuk in order to do that. Because you have to have the first item be the tachtav in the pasuk. So you could have reversed it. You have to do a lot more moving in the pasuk to reverse it the other way. But yes, you could have done it the other way. All right, now the Mishnah continued before that. Ain gonev achar gonev mishalem tashlemi kefil. If you steal from the ganuf, You don't pay kefa. Why? Now we learn that later on the Gemara, because if you go to Ebi Beit Ish, he has to steal it from the owner's house, and that's the ganav here is not the owner. So, is he, wait, is that true? Is the ganav not really the owner here? Amarav lo shana lifnei Yeush. The only time this is true is before Yeush, because then the ganav is not the owner. Aval acha Yeush kano. After Yeush, he's koneit. Ganav Rishon, the first thief, is now owns it. He becomes the owner. Ganav sheni mishalem teshlumi kefal to ganav Rishon, and the second ganav will now pay kefal to the first ganav. Amar Rav Sheshes Amina kinai v'shachiv Rav Amar lahashmaitita. When Rav was dozing off, he said this. The Tanya, we have a bright summer of Kiva. Mipnei ma amra Torah toveach umacher mishalem teshlumi arba v'chamisha. Why is the punishment for toveach and mechira 4 and 5 times? Mipnei shen nishtarish b'chet, because he rooted himself into chet. Mean that he persists in his sin to do over this. What does this mean that he persists in his sin? Because until this point in time, it was still in the possession of the Baalim. Even though he had stolen it, he hadn't made a kinyan on it. Once he does tevicha and mechira, not only has he stolen, but now he's made a kinyan on it. He's taken it out of the possession of the Baalim. So he's even deepened, he's rooted his chet, he's deepened his chet over here. But what do you see? What do you see from Rabbi Akiva? Eimat, when did this happen? Ilema lifnei Yeush, right? If it's before Yeush, miyikad nishtarish. Then what are you talking about over here? What's the nishtarish over here? What root is he doing? He's not taking possession of it. Elol acha Yeush. It's after Yeush. It's after Yeush. Then v'sakadatcha Yeush kani. Like Rob just said, if you think Yeush is enough, amai mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. How could you? Why would you be chayav 4 and 5 times? Right? Shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. Then he's. Once, if Yeush is by itself is enough to be koneh, then when he shechs the animal, he is shechting his own animal, and he's selling his own animal. So therefore, he shouldn't be chayav dalad v'chamisha. So what do you see? What do you see? What do you see from this? You see that Rabbi Akiva believes that Yeush is not koneh. Yid Rav just qualified our Mishnah and says our Mishnah when it says me konev me beit haganav is not chayav kefel. That's only if nei Yeush before there's a kinyan, but after Yeush there's a kinyan. So Rav Yez says Yeush is kani, and here we have Rabbi Akiva saying Yeush is not kani. So Imre k'damar Rava. Now let's see, the explanation of Daud Chamisha is not like what we just suggested over here, like Rabbi Akiva, because nishtarish bechet, but rather k'damar Rava impnei shana bechet, because he multiplied or he continued, he persisted in his chet. What does that mean? Shana bechet. So that means even before Yeush, it's prior to Yeush. And therefore, Yeush isn't a factor here in terms of the kinyan. So why is he chayav dalet b'chamisha, right, in this case? It's because he's shana b'chet. That not only did he, right, even not only did he steal, but then he was also toveach v'cher. And even though his ma'asim don't help him to make a kinyan on the item, nevertheless, he's done now two bad things. And since he's done two bad things, now we're going to pay him arba b'chamisha. So now, just so, hachanami p'nei shana b'chet. So that's also, Rabba's statement is going to come up in the Gemara. We're not going to get there yet, but the Rabba's answer over here is that the Rabbi Akiva, we don't have to, Rabbi Akiva is not the only reason for why you pay Dalad B'chamisha. There are other possibilities of what the reason you pay Dalad B'chamisha, and that's because Shana B'chet, not Nishtarish B'chet. Nishtarish B'chet indicates that he made a kinyan, and he changed the status of the item, he took possession of the item. Now the other possibility, Shana B'chet means that he repeated the chet, but not that it helped him. It didn't help him in any way. He never made a kinyan on it. It's just that he did two bad things. He was gonev, and then he was toveach and mocher. And since he did two bad things, that's what makes him chayav dalad v'chamisha. Okay, we'll stop over here.